I'm Donald Waters, and welcome to Pocket Cinema, a conversation show about Society of the Snow, Jordan Peele's Nope, and much, much more. Today on the show, we have...
Nate Hall here, folks, and we are also joined by...
Tyler Carson.
And today, we have a special guest with us today. He goes by the name of Michael Janiak.
How's it going, guys? Happy to be here. Very exciting.
This is your first time meeting Tyler, that's correct?
Yeah, this is my first time meeting Tyler.
How do you feel about D-Man?
We've been shooting the shit before mics came on, so we'll see. Before we started recording, Tyler was telling me about his lavish $1,700 portable speaker.
No, there's two of them.
Two of them.
Oh, it's a set. You can pair them together. No, but I can put it in the third room over, you can hear it. Like in my house, I have one right down by the stairs, and you can hear it. Like, oh, up God. The stairs, in the room,
who
door
makes
shut.
These things?
JBL.
Oh, that, is that the one that lights up and all that garbage? Mm-hmm. You buy them from Costco?
Amazon.
Oh, okay. Well, so, like, I got an Amazon Studio, the Alexa Studio, which that thing is awesome. I highly recommend that speaker. It does the same thing. I pay $200 for that thing, and it fills my whole house.
They're, like, this big.
But it doesn't matter. What does it matter how big?
I know.
I have
before.
A JBL Go Flip 3 or whatever it's called. It's, like, this big. It's perfectly fine. It was like $40.
You can get two of them. And they're voice activated, the Alexas. I can get two of them $400.
Yeah.
With a subwoofer.
Yeah.
Mine have two subwoofers in them.
Mine has, I've got to get the extension.
Oh, so you have to pay for more.
It's not going to be $1,100.
No, if I pay for more, it's still cheaper than that thing.
What's the deal with subwoofers? Why do you like subwoofers? Why do you
boom.
Like.
He
boom.
Likes what? The bass. That's about it. He just wants to hear the.
I don't see, like, okay, so I'm a big music guy.
You're right.
And mm-hmm. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm big music, not like pop, not pop, not rap. Like, I like that stuff, and I think that that's great for that kind of music. But for me, I'm listening to, like, a lot of rock, a lot of metal, mm-hmm. subgenre stuff, punk. And even the stuff that's, like, post-punk, stuff that's, like, highly artistic, highly mm-hmm. produced, there's a lot of elements there. Mm-hmm. I never need, like, that much bass. And, like, if anything, the one thing I hate, my dad does this, and I want to, like, smack him on the side of the head, because he'll always set the subwoofers in the house, mm-hmm. like, for our surround sound, super high, and no matter what I watch, it's just shaking the house. I'll be sitting there watching, like, the Barbie movie, and it's just like, why am I vibrating?
What about Oppenheimer? That would be amazing for
Oppenheimer. Was kind of cool, but here's the thing, it's a drawback. He's got the bass set so high, all the
mediums.
No, the dialogue gets drowned out because of the bass. Like mm-hmm. I can't get.
Well, Christopher Nolan movies are sound mixed like that anyway. So
yeah, I don't like bass to that point. I like bass to like the song.
That's not true.
Has bass. No, because if the bass is going to ruin the song,
Tyler, we've tested this before.
No, because the one Kakashi song. Has bass in the beginning, but, like, not that much bass, but if you bass boost it, it ruins, like, the entire beginning of the song.
Yeah, but remember when we tried to do Under Pressure?
You should listen to some, I should preface this with, like, I'm a bass player, I'm really into, like, right now I've been listening to a lot of sludge metal and stoner doom and stuff like that, which is, like, slow, heavy, nasty kind of stuff. There's a band called Electric Wizard. You should play the album, Dope Throne by Electric Wizard with like that much bass, it'll just like put you in a trance, I bet, because it's they're down tuned to like B standard, A standard, which is absurd. So
we do have some music stuff I want to talk about before we get into the movies, but I apologize for this putting you on the spot, but top three bands
all time.
Yeah,
that's hard. Can I do like my top three as of late?
Mm-hmm.
Because
I'll ask you guys this too.
Yeah, my music
are they,
tastes.
Are they isolating bands or like solo artists?
Like artists, whatever bands.
I think it's all pretty. Right. Let me pull up the Amazon Music.
Here. Bad question.
We can cut whatever if you need time.
I will say Electric Wizard has probably been like on repeat for me lately. I really like them. I just love that sound. I've been listening to like a lot of shoegaze lately, so that kind of brought me more into that genre, because when you get into like the doom metal and stuff like that, there's definitely that wall of sound element there. So Dope Smoker by Electric Wizard, great albums, like that band I've been listening to a lot lately. Aerial, really love Ariel. They came out about 10 years-ish. I might be underestimating. Came out about 10 years after My Bloody Valentine's Loveless came out. And they kind of were like those gearheads that were like, or tone chasers were like, I gotta do the My Bloody Valentine thing. But I think they really did their own thing with it. Seen them live twice. Such a fun concert. Also, one of the loudest shows you'll be at. And it's not even like heavy music. It's just that wall and like all that reverb and all that like kind of that sound getting lost in itself. And then what would we put as that like third one right now? I've been listening to a lot of goth music and a lot of post-punk music. So I'll say I've been into this band Vision Video lately. Not unfortunately, but like they got a lot of popularity through TikTok because the lead singer does this goth dad bit. And at first I was kind of wary, but then I started listening to them and they like have genuinely good goth music that I think is like really nostalgic while also being like modern. And their lead singer has an interesting story where he's a veteran. He was a combat medic in I think like Gulf War, like 90s, early 2000s. And then he was a nurse or some sort of frontline worker in an ICU, emergency room kind of stuff, EMS. And he was doing that through COVID. And then he was a firefighter after that, I think. And he writes a lot on his experience. He has a lot of PTSD from that stuff, so that comes out. There's a lot of like beautiful songs about like death, and that's what a lot of goth is. Mm-hmm. But a lot of like some of these songs are like about the beauty of death. So I think that was really cool. And he's also got a lot of influence from like classic slasher horror movies.
Full circle. That would have been a great transition, but unfortunately we're still gonna Nate, top three artists right now that you're listening to.
I'd say right now, okay, I'll just say right now my top three artists are probably, I'd say third is Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Alright,
I've been getting more into them recently, kind of a month ago probably. I started listening to them more often, and I don't know, it was just something that I was looking for. It was like a new taste of music for me, and I'm like loving this kind of funk that they have with it. Mm-hmm. And like coming from a drummer's perspective, I really think the drums are so nice in their songs.
The rhythm section in the rhythm those is great. Guys mm-hmm. is like insane. Yeah, Flea. Do you remember the drummer's name? I'm always so bad. Everyone I'm should know like all the members of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't really care. I like them. Mm-hmm. They're definitely like, I think that Flea is overrated as shit as a bass player, but
no, I do think his bass playing in like it's still pretty good.
It's really great. I just think it's not for me. Like I think I prefer a more contemporary or like, you know, it fits in their music.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
I don't remember what the drummer's name is, but the drumming is really good.
Yeah.
I'm bad with their names, but they are great.
They're all really talented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like their album Stadium Arcadium.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's really good. Second, though, I'm going to say is probably Electric Light Orchestra, ELO.
Telephone
line!
Jeff Lynn is insane.
I don't know how he does it, but he is so good.
He's an insane songwriter. He touched a bunch of songs.
Tyler's shaking his head.
That, like, he would touch it and it would be a hit. Like, that's how he operated back. I don't remember what their peak was. That'd be, like, 70s, 80s.
Yeah, just about.
So, Out of the Blue. I own that record.
Okay.
So I collect records.
Right.
I found that record. It had all the original, like, candy that came with it. Like, it had, like, the poster, and it came with a cardboard punch out of the spaceship.
No, okay.
And this was like dead stock from the 70s. And it wasn't expensive, which was crazy. Like, you'd think that this is an expensive record, but it's not. And it's great. It's got hits like all the ones you want, like Mr. Blue Skies on there, Turn to Stone.
Turn to Stone.
Band. I love Electric Light Orchestra.
No, yeah, I love them. His orchestration, or if he's. His like strings and everything just sounds so cool. I don't know what it is about them.
Oh, it is so great.
70s, but at the same time like futuristic.
Right.
So weird. It's like a time capsule.
Yeah, and of course, like, you know, Mr. Blue Sky also. It just reminds me, Guardians, you know, superhero, which I'm a big superhero guy. Mm. But, I don't know, it's, and his voice is just so unique to me. I think it just sounds so nice and so good. Whenever I hear him, it's just music to my ears.
You know, so I know you already asked me three. One of, this isn't all time, this is not recent.
Okay.
This is as of late, too, because I just got into them. I'm years late. LCD Sound System.
Oh, yeah.
They are very, I wouldn't say they're the same, but I like to think that maybe LCD Sound System is like this future version of Electric Light Orchestra. Like, it went yellow, and then we had Talking Heads, and then we have LCD Sound System.
I have their album, This Is Happening, downloaded on my Spotify. I haven't listened to it yet.
Dance Yourself Clean, hardest beat drop ever. Mm. And it's all like analog synths and stuff. It's so cool.
Yeah.
I saw them live, one of my favorite shows I've ever been to. Like, probably top five live experiences.
No, I bet. I mean, that's the one thing I hate that I missed out on. Like, a few years back, this is before I really even listened to, like, ELO. They played at Cleveland and Jeff Lynne's ELO. And I'm so sad I got to miss that. One of my friends saw, and they said it was like a spectacle.
Ian.
Yeah, Ian.
Shout out, Mr. Hip Hop.
Mr. Hip Hop himself. No, yeah. But I'm so sad I missed that. But I would say my number one, and this is my number one of all time, too, of course, the Beatles.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm a big Beatles guy.
For reference,
I'm wearing a Beatles shirt. Sergeant Pepper's.
But no, they kind of got me into my passion of music, I'd say.
Yeah.
And I don't know, they're just so, what can you say that hasn't already been said about the Beatles? That's the thing. You know, Paul McCartney's bass is just so, it's, there's something special to it to me. It's not, you know, always unique. Over the top. It's unique.
He would actually write the bass parts last.
Right.
So he could kind of have that dynamic bass part, and he was like one of the first like lead bass players. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't always like super leady. But, I mean, as a bass player, like, you sit down and try to learn those lines. Like,
they're not
simple.
They're not simple.
He's definitely doing some cool stuff there.
Right.
He's the best Beatle.
I hate the violin bass, though. The violin bass can burn it out.
Like that upright?
No, it looks like it's called the Hofner violin bass. It might be another name for it, but the body looks like a kind of like a violin.
Okay.
They're just really dinky looking to me.
Oh, I get you. Okay.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, you're talking like literally about like the bass that
the one that Paul McCartney plays. Yeah, I just cannot.
No, I've always wanted one of those because I love Paul McCartney so much.
Get a Rickenbacker. Spend five times more on it, but it'll look cool. Like, these things.
It just looks so cool to me.
I don't like that.
It is just because it's like Paul McCartney.
It's ugly.
But my favorite Beatle, I'm probably gonna say, is Paul McCartney. It's either him or
Harrison.
George is my favorite. Ringo's drumming. Like, it can be complex, but it's usually just, like, simple, but it sounds so good.
There is, I will say, I think that you and me have the same understanding. We've talked about this before, where it's, like, as a person, as a player, especially in the rhythm section, like, you gotta know when and where to, like...
Exactly.
You gotta know when to put the sauce on, and then when to kind of dial it back. Especially with bass playing, like, and drumming. Like, you get too busy, it doesn't sound right.
And I play, like, I do both bass and drums, and I never really like filling or anything. I like to keep a clean beat, and that's kind of Ringo's, actually, from what I've read before, is that he never liked to fill. They'd usually have to make him fill something in. It just wasn't his thing.
I'm always a fan of, like, if I'm doing a fill, it's just, like, a little, like, transition into
the
next note. But you got, it's, like, especially, like, live, I've seen, like, especially these indie bands that are, like, I'm from Cleveland, so there's a great music scene out there. You see these little indie bands that open up for people, and me being a snob, I'm always paying attention to the bass player. You got this kid in the indie band playing, like, a six-string bass, doing all this crazy stuff. I'm like, dude, you're overplaying the shit out of this song. If anything, you're ruining it. Like,
yeah.
You just dial it back a bit, and this song would be way better than it already is.
Right.
So.
Speaking of Ringo, I love that man's nose. He just has the look at his nose.
His nose.
The schnoz. You guys think Paul McCartney actually died in like 1970 whatever? Or 60 whatever. I don't remember when that happened.
I think it was
the conspiracy.
I don't know. It was really early in their career, apparently. Because I remember reading about it. I don't really know. I don't think it's true, but there's like a whole thing.
That's probably not.
Yeah, it was like a late night after a rehearsal, I believe. He was driving home and he
I got this insane.
Yeah, he got an accident. He got decapitated, is what I heard.
Really?
Exactly. I'm like, this is
his cap up was detained from his head. That's a reference to The Office.
Oh my gosh. You should have, like, a, you know, the, like, stereotypical alien sound, like,
yeah.
You should have that put on the soundboard. It'd be fun.
Should I go next or should Tyler? Because mine would be really quick.
What? Mine would be quick.
Yeah, let's go Tyler.
All right, let's go Tyler.
Okay. Best for last.
Yep.
Well, yeah, that's me.
I'm not best.
Okay,
gotcha.
Wow, yeah.
I'm the host, dude.
Young Gravy.
Gravy Train.
Morgan Wallen.
No, oh, God. What was the third one?
Rustage.
Oh. They
what's
went
anime? Nerdcore.
They went to a concert. He's like some anime dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's eating a parm bite, ladies and gentlemen.
So it's pretty much, there's this like genre of music called nerdcore, and it's usually rap. I'm not really a big fan of like rap, but it's like they sing rap about video game anime stuff.
Oh, like Joey Valance. You heard Joey Valance and Bray? You would love them then. They have like the Beastie Boys sound.
Okay.
But they're rapping up, it's like all 90s and early 2000s references.
Oh,
they have a
yeah.
new song that just came out recently where the intro is like this soundbite from SpongeBob, and it's like, you guys remember the episode where Mr. Krabs is like juicing all the jellyfish or like milking
yeah,
all the jellyfish?
Yeah, I'm rewatching SpongeBob.
And,
I just watched
and
that.
He's
one.
On the bike,
yeah,
and it's like take me to the top. That is like the intro to the song, and then they like mix it in it, then the beat.
That's
drops.
So funny.
It's so good.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is going to be really quick. My number three is probably Bruce Springsteen, The Boss. I started the movie Air. There's a... What was that?
I'm not a big Bruce Springsteen guy.
Really? And the movie...
All those old guys are like... Some of them are like, but I'm like... Yeah,
I love him.
Better now.
In the movie Air, they had a bit about Jason Bateman talking about what the song Born in the USA really means. It's a guy coming home from Vietnam who can't, like, find a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's masked in a pro-America song, except it's really anti-American. You just say, Born in the USA! And it gets you amped up and everything, but it's like, oh, wait, this song is really depressing. So I just started listening to them from there. My number two, Weezer.
Weezer.
It's a joke that I love Weezer.
It's
that...
not a joke because you actually like them.
Okay, yeah, Weezer's not bad.
They're
really
not.
Early emo.
Yeah.
Would I put them like really high? Because here's the thing, for me, a band to be in my like all time top three, which is always so hard for me to do because I listen to so much music and I never like to like do that because I think every band has its own thing. Weezer does not consistently deliver past like
album? Green Album?
What came out? Okay, so Blue was good.
Yes.
Green was all right.
Pinkerton is incredible. I have that album on vinyl.
Yeah, no, Pinkerton's a fucking awesome album.
I could talk
it
about Weezer.
It was their first album, though. They haven't...
No, Pinkerton's number two. Blue's number one.
Blue was what? I don't believe you.
Blue's number one. It's their debut.
Unfair.
That's a sad debut.
And Rivers went to Harvard for songwriting, and he made Pinkerton.
A Harvard degree.
And it was
make him
incredibly... underrated at the time. No one liked it.
You're right.
Nobody likes it now.
Then Green Album came out because no one liked Pinkerton. They wanted to go back to their roots. They redid the Blue Album, essentially, and the Green Album that had Island in the Sun, which is the only good song on that album other than
the
Crab.
The blue one?
No, the green one.
The green one, oh.
That's number three.
Yeah, they're,
then from
they're
there,
first
Everything Will Be Alright in the End is amazing. The White Album is amazing. Okay,
like,
Human
the Beatles
is
one, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, the Weezer is like the Beatles if they were good.
No, Weezer's like the Beatles if they were bad.
And then my number one, this isn't all time, but I've been... There's this guy who does SpongeBob AI rap.
Oh
battles.
My god, no!
Here's some serious picks.
No, this SpongeBob I'm gonna cut this part out. I'm gonna cut this part out. I'm gonna show Mike Glorb the bottom two in real time. When I hit
the reader, it's all gone. It is kind of just like. It is kind of like the best trap that I've seen.
Why is it good?
It is like, if it weren't like obviously computerized and someone was actually rapping this, it kind of would be like better.
That's fair, yeah.
I guess whoever's like writing this has kind of got some talent.
Okay, so that's enough about music. So we have some movie news. First of all, the Despicable Me 4 trailer came out.
I saw that. Yeah.
It looks so good.
It does.
You know what? So, I think that Despicable Me will always have like this place in my heart.
Yeah. I love it.
So
it's
goofy. I'm going to see it in the theater. Yeah. Whether it's by myself, whether it's with friends, whether it's with
I don't want to see it with friends if I get invited.
Do you get invited?
I was in Africa in the summer of 2014. For like the whole summer, and we only had two DVDs, and those DVDs were Monsters University and Despicable Me 2.
Why were you in Africa?
My parents were doing study abroad.
Yeah. That's not a normal. Okay, I was in China.
I was in China the summer of 2018.
You know, Doc. You know, like
I know them, but like, did you just casually drop? Oh yeah, I was in Africa.
Humble brag. I was in Africa. I don't remember any of it except I had two DVDs, and they were Monsters University and Despicable Me 2, and I watched those two movies over and over every day. Again. And
was
Simpsons
it South
movie.
Africa? Or like
Ghana.
Yeah, it would have been South
in Ghana. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was in Beijing in China. But we're not talking about that. Humble brag, I was in China. It was before COVID, so I didn't bring COVID.
Humble brag, I'm gonna be in England soon.
Oh my gosh.
Other than that, it was announced that speaking of SpongeBob, during the Super Bowl, they're gonna be redoing Sweet Victory in CG, and they're gonna be performing that at the Super Bowl.
And you're annoyed at this. You don't like that they're gonna redo it.
I don't like
that
they're
supposed
gonna
to do
redo
that
it.
many years ago.
So they did. They started it out and then absolutely screwed us over
for Travis Scott.
Yeah, I was beyond pissed at that when it came out.
We were watching it.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
But now they're gonna perform it in CG, which I'm not totally against, depending on how it looks. Because if it's like, you know, how like the Sponge on the Run movie looks, I think that actually is a decent like.
This should get
visual
NASA
style.
Animated.
I'm just kind of like over. I've just been so over the commercialized like all that stuff. It's like I don't really care who's performing at the Super Bowl anymore because it's just gonna be like whoever has been systematically writing music to get on the radio, and it's just like not.
No, that's fair. I mean, I don't
always
care about
fun. And I only ever really care about watching commercials and the halftime show because it's still entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Deadpool 3 is most likely getting a trailer in that Super Bowl, which I'm excited for.
Deadpool is always fun.
Exactly. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. It's going to be the only movie the MCU is releasing this year, so hopefully that's
especially
a good sign.
Wolverine.
So we all watched a film. Most of us watched a film on Netflix.
Okay.
called Society of the Snow. This is directed by J.A. Boyena.
Okay.
He's also responsible for directing Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, but he also did a movie called The Impossible, which I really liked. I liked it better than Society of the Snow. It's another true story based on a tragedy, which is interesting.
Ooh.
But Society...
Everyone's got a type.
Yeah, Fallen Kingdom is also kind of a tragedy when you think about it, because of destroying the Jurassic World franchise.
Oh,
Jurassic Park franchise. But see, I made a joke and no one laughed. So I thought this movie was really good. It's about a real life plane crash that happened, and that's basically all you need to really go into the movie. Nate, what did you think of Society of the Snow?
I thought it was really, really good. I gave it an 8 out of 10 on Letterboxd, and what they did in it, they did like just a wonderful job of putting us in the perspective of what these people went through. And because they were dropped in the middle of the Andes, and then just they literally, it felt like no hope. There was, how are they going to get out of this?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
I'm surprised, like, I'm genuinely surprised how they actually did. And it's just crazy to think how they went through this all. And it really makes you start wondering about. Tyler's shaking his head even though he didn't watch the movie. It just makes you like think, what would you do in this situation? Because there's, you know, this whole thing about cannibalism.
Oh, it's a heavy movie.
It's heavy. It's
a heavy movie.
Fucked up, but
yeah.
I mean, because my friend pointed this out, like, if you were in this situation, you'd be like, oh, I'm never, or like right now while you're watching, like, I would never eat somebody else. But what if you were put in this situation? What are you gonna do?
Meat is meat.
Do you mind?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, I've watched, there's a show called Yellow Jackets that's on Showtime. And upon further investigation, so I watched this, I should preface this. I watched this movie last night with my roommate, Mavis. Shout out, Mavis. And they were reading the Wikipedia article the whole time we were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to find out that Yellow Jackets is based on this true story. And I think it's important to note that this was a plane crash in the 70s. So they don't have the same resources we have now for like search and rescue and things like that. They're decades behind what we can do now. This movie is very, very accurate to the true story.
Yeah, it is.
And it like you can take it almost as this is exactly how it happened. Which I thought was crazy. But what I was saying, Yellow Jackets, right? I felt like in this movie they really nailed the weight and the gravity and the heaviness of making that decision to like eat someone else, which they're eating a dead person. Versus how they did it in Yellow Jackets. Yellow Jackets is dramatized. It's a fictional show based on this story, and it's kind of witchy and supernatural. But though, and there is some weight there of making that decision, but it's not the same.
Right.
Like, they kind of, like, do it and embrace it in a way in the show, while in the movie it's like, it doesn't get normalized until almost the very end, where it's just like, fuck it, we gotta just do it.
That's the thing about this movie. When it works, you're like, hell yeah. J.A. Boyena is the new Steven Spielberg. And then there's a lot of times where I'm just kind of sitting there. I'm sitting there. It's playing on my TV. Like, my phone's right here. And I could be playing Flow Free right now. And I match the dots. And I'm like, oh, wait, a good scene. Then I go back to my phone. That's kind of the Netflix effect, though.
This movie, like, it hooked me the entire time.
Yeah.
It had me. I think it also helped, since I'm a musician, I was listening in on the score a lot, and I'm like, this is amazing.
His score was really good.
And it got to who composed it, it's Michael Giacchino, or however you pronounce his name. He did the score for Batman.
Incredibles.
Incredibles. Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, this makes sense. But this actually isn't the, speaking of, like, adaptations, like, with the, what was it called? I'm in it.
Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets Beekeeper. There was originally a movie back, I don't remember how long ago. Alive. Yes. But the thing was, they whitewashed the entire thing.
Reference that movie on Ted.
Oh.
TV show, remember?
Oh, yeah. No, but the this came out a long time ago. But not long, I think.
Like the
90s. Yeah, no. It's about this plane crash. It's just the thing is, it was everybody was like white in it instead, and I think it did well enough. But I don't think it was as accurate, of course, as this was. And the other thing is, like, this is a... I believe they were a Uruguayan rugby team.
Yeah, but in the true story, they're Uruguayan rugby players. Yellow Jackets, they're just, like, a bunch of high school chicks on a soccer team going to, like, nationals.
I tried watching it, but the voices just didn't line up with the mouth.
Oh, so that's when you actually start watching song.
We don't watch the dub.
We watched the dub.
That's what I was watching, but the mouse just line up.
Buck up, pal.
No.
I feel like you watched Squid Game in dub and had no problem.
No problem.
Dude.
That was interesting.
Sidious. Okay. Yeah, obviously it's not a gripping, you know, it's not like grabbing you with like all these gunfire. Yeah. No, it's more of a heavy story that you gotta sink in.
Yeah, but when it doesn't catch me, and then I'm just focusing on the mouth.
And that's surprising.
When I was watching this movie, I was like, I think I like started the movie, I was eating like popcorn or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I ran out of popcorn, and I sat there for a while, and I was like really just kind of getting into it. I was locked in. And I get past like these initial points where they start the cannibalism, and then I get to like this point where, like, I need to remind myself what real food feels like in my mouth, because right now I'm empathizing way too much with this movie. I'm like, give me some pretzels.
No, I felt bad eating during this movie for a while.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, I kind of got nauseous.
Yeah,
I was eating pizza rolls, and the texture of pizza rolls and the bread sauce, it really messed with me.
You want to go like vegetarian for like a few days.
I don't. It did such a good job of making me like feel.
But I will for these guys. I will say the gross out factor, like the kind of. This is a biopic, so you kind of get they had to be kind of subtle with it. But like Yellow Jackets compared to this, because they're based on the same story.
Mm-hmm.
The gross out factor is like a million times worse in Yellow Jackets with this stuff than in this movie. I will say though, there was like some broken leg shit that happened like during the crash scene. Yeah. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah. It's just, it feels so real because it was like.
Well, to me, the crash felt really, that crash itself felt cartoony. It was like that video you like of the bus. Boom!
It is kind of, but then there's parts of it that seem, I think it's just like maybe the way it's edited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the lighting and the shots. But
it's probably what happened, though. I'm like,
there was some the chaos and this. Speaking of sound, the score was great, but the sound design during this scene was so great, and I loved the way that scene was. It was super intense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's one of the most intense scenes I've seen in a while. Like, it was really good. I loved that.
There's a specific shot
feel kind of cartoony
that I'm thinking of a guy's head kind of smashing into the back of the chair, and like blood splats out. Kind of reminded me of Terrifier when he steps on the. There's a scene where a clown steps on a guy's head and it explodes like a tomato. And I was just like, reminded me of that.
So, Tyler, from what we've said about the movie, how do you think.
Give us your rendition of Society of the Snow. What happened? And then, I'm sorry, before we get to that, something we didn't mention is this movie is 2.5 hours long.
It is a long movie.
It's long, but I think it deserved it. And. It didn't feel like it felt long, but at the same time it didn't. It's like one of those weird feelings.
It kind of feels long because it helps you empathize with how long they were out there, which for listeners was 72 days and like a few hours.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Like, yeah, they have time cards,
which is really cool. And
all the names of the deaths on the screen.
Yeah, that was well done. I like that.
It really sold this like heaviness.
It definitely doesn't feel like that at 6 in the morning when you're trying to watch it before you come to the podcast, but...
like 6 in the morning today?
Yeah. Before you go to bed. So, rugby players.
Okay.
They're going on, like, a trip to, like, just, like, party or something, I believe, or, like, somewhere to play a game.
I don't remember.
I know they went on a trip. I think it was a Florida.
Because all I know is there was a list of, like, girls' phone numbers.
They were going to Chile.
Chile, there it is.
So the Andes Mountains are
in Chile.
And so then they crash in the Andes Mountains, and then they try to survive there, and then they get saved. But some people get saved, at least.
The poster does spoil it. Did you guys see the poster? It spoils this movie.
What?
I mean, it is a real life movie, I guess, but like, look at this. They're like, over here.
Yeah, no, I'm not really that. If it spoils the movie, like, I think it's, you know, they're going to get in a plane crash, like, in the first 30 minutes, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, one thing about like the whole thing about them getting saved, I kept thinking, like, how are they going to get out of this? Because. Probably about halfway through this movie, they get a about an hour, I think, into this movie, they rig this radio thing up to actually where they could get like.
Is that your rendition? You're done? Okay.
Where they get like news, music, whatever, and they hear on the news that this like I don't remember how long the search was, but the search for this missing plane or the plane crash that they were on is concluded. Like, they weren't going to search for it anymore until like a few months or something until it thawed out, until the snow melted some.
Because at that point, then they're looking for bodies.
Yeah, so at that point, like, it seemed like just all hope was lost. But they just kept going, and, like, they kept coming up with these different ways, and I'm like, what the heck's going to happen? And then, obviously, what does happen is that two of them, and I cannot remember the names.
Yeah,
I don't remember the names.
That's the thing. I feel like there should have been a lot more character development for them. There's a lot of people, and I understand the point isn't the characters, the point is the event, but I feel like we at least needed to know at least one of the people.
Well, there was one they focused on.
Mando or something.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but like,
yeah, about crying. It's okay to cry or whatever.
Yeah.
That scene was, I feel like he just didn't have enough, that scene didn't feel earned. There wasn't enough character development for that.
I've just been having that problem recently with movies. Like, I can't remember characters' names. Especially with recognizable actors. I'm just like, it's like that guy that this guy played.
I feel like they either should have had a lot more before the plane crash or a lot more after.
Yeah.
At least based on one of the people so that we have, like, an entryway into the...
Because... There was, like, a lot of people that kept getting...
And it's hard to keep track of who's who. And it's like, oh, this guy died. Oh, well... And it's like, well, we're trying to care about them eating somebody, but we don't really know the guy we're eating, so we don't really feel the...
Well, we...
I think that might be kind of intentional.
It is, but I feel like it would have been more effective if we knew the guy they were eating.
That's fair.
Like, if the whole movie, if there was, like, 30 minutes... If the movie was an hour and a half, there was 30 minutes of the guy that they were going to eat eventually, in the beginning, going through his life, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, slightly more backstory to everybody that was on there.
Well, not to everybody, specifically...
Person, a bunch.
Not to everybody, specifically the guy that they were going to eat. And you didn't... You would think he's the only guy who makes it out because they focused on him so much in the beginning, but at the end, it turns out they actually eat him. And then plane crash maybe happens in 20 minutes. Then I can't do math in my head. That's 50 minutes. And then next 20 minutes is them surviving on the island, then 10 minutes at the end. Right?
Minutes.
That's
island. 20 minutes still.
20 minutes left? Okay, so whatever. Conclusion. Epilogue. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's not like it was just one person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As,
but I feel like we needed that
component in the story where two of the guys knew who they were butchering. I guess that's like a good fool. Two of the guys knew who they were butchering, and they were and
they took that guilt.
And that was intentional, so that the rest of the team didn't know like who they were eating, because it just kind of made it more. I mean, it was
it's still horribly hard, but
it was more palatable that way.
I don't mind that the team didn't know who they were eating. I just I feel like the audience should have known.
The problem would have been that would have been so much character development, because it wasn't one, like, they ate. They probably cut up
most
of the bodies they had.
But for us to have more of a connection to at least one of the people that...
Well, they did give us connection to one of the characters who does end up dying.
I know,
the
but you're asking us to spend...
Yeah.
You're asking us to spend so much time with these people, and we don't really know anything about any of them. That's my one issue.
That's fair. It's just, it's hard to tell that much in a 2.5 hour time slot, which is already...
I think if they did, like, a biopic show...
If they have,
like,
it
would be way easier to do that.
Right.
But I think the movie accomplished the purpose.
For the time it had.
And I think there's just so much... Like, I think it does a great job in general... generating the gravity of this situation, eating another human being.
Oh yeah.
That I don't need to know. Like, this is still hitting me. Like, I still
am
heavily emphasizing, like, it's still heavily emphasizing, like, how these characters are feeling and all, like, everything like that. Like, the fact that they're packing the meat in snow.
I remember that.
Not noticeable. Like, that got me.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, Jesus.
So, what did we think? Was it good?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just... It was great.
I liked it more than the other movie we're talking about today.
I liked the other movie better.
It's because you saw
the other movie. So, this movie kind of played on a personal fear of mine.
Yeah.
So, I snowboard in the winter, and when I was in high school, we took a lot of trips out west. So, Park City. And I never went too far out of bounds. But I kind of dabbled and dabbled with, like, that kind of more secluded terrain. And one of my biggest fears was, like, there's these things called tree wells. So when you get a lot of snow and you have, like, these big trees, what tends to happen is not a lot of snow collects at the bases of these trees. So you can be riding through these and you'll basically hit, like, a hollow point in the snow, which is under this tree. And it actually, a lot of people die because of these, because you get trapped in there.
Okay, yeah.
Especially when the snow is really deep, no one finds you, you're like, fuck. So, that kind of, like, getting buried in the snow, the whole avalanche, there's an avalanche scene.
Oh, that was so hard to watch.
It's like, I don't know if you guys get the same thing, like, underwater shit.
Oh, yeah.
In movies, makes you feel like you can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
That was it for me, because... I always had this little, like, aching fear, like, I'm going to get buried in the snow.
Mm.
Or, like, even when I get, like, stuck in deep snow and I can't get out, like, really easily, it just scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, I played on my, like, I guess I don't have, like, a lot of claustrophobia, but it definitely, it hit me. I'm like...
And that actually happened, the whole buried, like, again.
Yeah.
Very accurate. And that's when you really start to get this crazy, like, now we know who we're eating.
Right.
That's intense.
Mm.
So, for me, I'm a horror guy. I love horror.
Me too.
But cannibalism gets me every time.
Yeah.
Self-mutilation and cannibalism. Those two, I'm not a huge fan of.
Mm.
And, like, cutting, like suicidal kind of thing.
Yeah.
Can't deal with that.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I mean, I can. It's just like, you know, I do this. For reference, I'm like rubbing my wrists and hands together. So.
Okay.
Always difficult. Mm.
I did like this movie. I just feel like it was too long. We didn't get to know the characters enough. But everything else was very good. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you could probably cut like 20 minutes out of that movie and it'd still be just as good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
But some beautiful scenic shots.
Oh, yeah. The cinematography.
Jinx was amazing.
Yeah.
The like shining moment.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the beginning of that movie. Who did Stanley Kubrick did this?
Yeah.
The Shining.
Yeah.
The Shining. Here. really, really good movie. I think I just love knowing the true story because I've watched Yellow Jackets, really enjoyed it, watched it with my girlfriend, and I think it was really fun to
humble brag.
Know the real story. sorry, guys.
Our next movie comes from director Jordan Peele. He's known for, well, it's pretty limited movies that he's done. You know, Us, Get Out, and the one we're talking about is Nope.
But he's more known for his presence on the long-running Comedy Central show, Key and Peele.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I've seen this guy before, I swear.
I've seen this guy before. Yo. He's like in every funny thing ever ever posted by Facebook moms.
So the movie Nope is really about a lot of things. The surface level plot is two people trying to find an alien and get a picture of it so they can get on Oprah. But there's also a lot of deeper meanings about it. Tyler, did this movie pass your sleep test?
Yeah.
It did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, to be fair, it's not in a theater, and I ended up watching it.
You just like fall asleep in the theater.
Yeah.
We call it the sleep test.
I don't know. I just pass out.
You know what movie did not pass my sleep test?
What?
Skinner Inc.
Oh, I'm gonna watch
it. Out.
I mean, yeah, it seems like slow and.
You could watch like a highlight reel of that movie and kind of get the same effect. If I'm being honest.
So, Nate, did you like Nope?
Yeah, I'm really happy that I finally watched it. I've been holding off because I've been trying to find the right time. And actually today, it was as I was coming out of my Western Civilization class, I'm talking to my friend who's watching it with me, and I'm like, I really want to watch Nope, but I just don't feel like I'm in the right headspace for it. It's not what I want to do yet. You know, I want to be in the right place for it. And we ended up watching, obviously, because I need to watch it for a year.
Yeah, this is what forced me to watch it.
Yeah.
I had, like, this thing where I didn't have a lot of interest in it because I haven't liked these other movies
that much. Well, see, I was interested in it because I really liked the whole idea of, like, aliens, kind of the unknown. So I was interested. It's just I didn't want to. I had to be the right time for me. And this wasn't, but when I was watching it, like, I'm like, okay, this is great.
It's more Spielbergian, and it's very crowd-pleasing.
Yes.
Yeah, I will say that as far as alien movies, like, they all tend to kind of track the same way for me. I watched No One Will Save You.
I liked it.
That was a good movie, but they, like, there's just something. There's an atmosphere about
that scene at the end with, like, the brain. That freaked me out.
I remember that.
Tyler?
I had no idea it was an alien movie until I watched it.
Cool.
Yeah,
no
same
idea.
Actually.
I was just like, horse ranch, phenomenon in the sky. And I'm like, oh, they're just setting up cameras to watch the sky, okay.
Well, as we'll talk about, the alien isn't really an alien. It's a metaphor for either A, life, or B, which sounds very pretentious, or B, the Hollywood industry. But Nate, continue your...
Both of those are interesting takes to me.
I'll explain.
I'm excited to hear
pretentious.
But when we get into spoilers, we'll go through the plot and I'll explain. But
continuing my thoughts, I guess. I think overall it was a very good movie. It's my first Jordan Peele that I've liked. I believe the other one I saw was Us.
Mm.
And it didn't hit for me. I don't know. Yeah, but the acting was really enjoyable. I'm terrible with names. I only know Steven Yeun. And I don't even know the name that the character that he actually played. I just can't remember.
Daniel Kaluuya, I think that's how you pronounce his name, was the main guy.
The main guy. He was really good.
But he does play the same character in every movie. He's always kind of
mumbling.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I feel like the movie just
really slowed start.
Yeah,
I almost gave up on it.
There was a slow start, and then once I got like halfway through,
because my dad watched in the living room, he's like, "What are you watching?" I'm like, "Nope."
I'm like, "You're not watching anymore."
Then he went to sleep, and I was like, "I am going to give up on this movie," because I was like, "It's just so slow to start." I'm like,
"Yeah,
what's the point of this movie?"
Yeah. That all?
I mean, we'll get more into the discussion.
Yeah,
but
the spoilers
overall
section.
Really great. Definitely worth a watch. It's a little freaky, you know. It irked me in some scenes. There's like a
kind of scary.
There is a chimpanzee, is how you pronounce it, scene.
Gordy.
Be careful with that. If that stuff irks you, maybe stay clear. But it's not the biggest part. It's just it wasn't too much.
That didn't get me too bad.
It got me. This is the third time I've seen it. Still freaked me out.
It freaked me out, but it's just more like it.
Especially when you kind of figure out in your head how it connects. And I'm not saying my interpretation is the right one, but once you have it's like David Lynch. Once you have an interpretation of what he's trying to say, then it becomes creepier.
You guys do a David Lynch episode. Give me a
yeah.
I love David Lynch, but I have the worst takes. I think because I love his stuff. But
hey, Elephant Man is my favorite David Lynch movie.
I need
Lynch
to watch
movie.
That one, but I've seen like Lost Highlands.
What are your thoughts, Tyler?
Where am I going first? I just jumped in. I was like, pretty slow, but pretty good movie overall. If you can get past the beginning.
Yeah, I will say, like I said before, it took me a while to get onto this until I had a reason, because I wasn't a fan of his other movies, but I definitely like this one the most out of the ones I've seen, which included Us, which I laughed at the theater. I really did not like Us that much. Mm. I thought it was so long. This has also got some pacing issues, but nothing crazy.
Mm.
I'll say that I want to hear your take, because I feel like it's going to change my perception of the film. I think that there are parts, especially with like the monkey or the chimpanzee, that I didn't feel like it was necessary. But
it is.
You guys seem to have some knowledge that I don't, that I can't wait to hear. But I really loved the design of the alien.
Yeah, it was so cool.
A really cool twist.
I like the DIY quality of it.
There is, speaking of which, well, we can get into, but I'll say my biggest gripe of this movie, other than like I probably would have done it, like I wouldn't have done the chimpanzee thing based on what my understanding of it was, is the sound design. Some of it was exceptionally DIY.
Mm.
Especially when it came to certain scenes regarding the alien.
Yeah.
I was like, that sounds like something that I can do at home.
Mm.
Which most of that stuff is when you get, it's like breaking bones is like a bunch of celery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, like twisting celery is how they do breaking bones. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a really interesting approach to the classic, like, there's higher forms of life, or there's other forms of intelligent life. I will say that all of these movies kind of have this same thing with, like, how they, like, animate and do, like, the CG on their aliens and stuff. And it just gives me, like, this, it's just this atmosphere to the movie that I've always... It's been daunting or disconnecting, because I think I'm
elaborate.
So, I guess when you have like practical effects, for example, I feel like a good practical effects. I feel like it's always going to be better, and I think with alien movies, it's hard to do good practical effects. So you have to use CG, but sometimes the CG in these films doesn't quite blend in with the environment enough to make me feel like it's not immersive, I guess. Like there's like this disconnect in there because of that. Like it's the same thing with No One Can Save You.
Mm.
Some of it was fine because it was like a dude in a prosthetic.
Mm-hmm.
But some of like the really big ones, I was like, I'm not really, you're losing me somewhere. And that's just like the immersion part of it. That's, I'm no expert on that stuff. Like, I can't do it myself. So, like, I'm not gonna throw too much shade at someone who's animating that. But for me, a lot of those alien movies have that problem. Especially modern ones.
My thing is, the more out there your alien creature design and the more impractical, I guess, that it looks, the creepier it is, because you're not supposed to, like, Arrival, you're not even supposed to fathom what's going on.
It's more like an eldritch horror kind of thing.
You're not even supposed to understand what it is you're seeing, and I feel like if you, oh, they did this by doing this, and they did that so that that can happen, I feel like that takes me out of it. Mm-hmm. I like knowing, oh, it's animation, I can't recreate it, it's so weird.
I think Arrival did a pretty good job from what I've seen off of it, so... But I guess my reference is, like, I had the same problem with No One Can Save You, because those movies kind of came out a couple of years... Like, I think this was, what, 2022?
Yeah. My favorite movie of the... I think it's a masterpiece, and it's one of the defining movies of the 20s. But I'm surprised that you guys all liked it as much as you did. It was kind of a troll, because this is the biggest 180 that I've ever done with a movie. I first saw it when I was in California, and I hated it.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, the Goodfellas, I was like, this makes no sense. Nothing fits together. It's stupid. I don't like how Daniel Kaluuya, I don't know how to say his name, mumbles the whole time. It's so boring. It's so pretentious.
I think if he doesn't do that, though, then, like, the title of the movie makes no sense.
Yeah. But then, and this is where the film buffs come in, Nate, I listen to my big picture, and I'm like, okay, I might watch it again. Then Robbie's my brother, he wanted to watch it again, so I was like, fine. And I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is this low-key masterpiece.
Were you like the Sadler and Waldorf and the Muppets? Were you like, that wasn't that bad, actually.
Bravo!
I liked it. It was pretty good.
But no,
this is awesome.
Oh,
this rules.
I was expecting you guys to say, I don't understand this movie. But I'm glad you guys liked it.
Not everyone. You got more than just you who care about movies. You know?
Yeah.
We're in the wheelhouse. we get it.
Yeah. But yeah, we should go scene by scene. So it starts with.
It's hard for me.
Yeah. Because there's really no scene by scene. It's kind of abstract. But
your spoilers.
Spoilers! So it starts off with you know, the very first movie ever, like, 2-minute kind of clip is of the black guy riding a horse.
Yeah, which I thought that was cool.
Yeah, no one knows who that is. It's a real thing. But it's not a period piece, which I find interesting. So it's not the guy who was in that original video. It's, I guess, relatives of or someone connected to the estate of that guy. And then... what happens from there? I forget.
You are missing in the beginning.
Yeah.
The first thing that happens is the main character is out on the ranch with his father, and the father's on the horse.
The great-great-grandson of the guy on the horse.
Pretty much he walks away for a second, moving something, and then stuff just starts kind of flying out of the air. And he turns back, and his the horse just being kind of still, and his grandfather is not moving at all.
He's kind of like head down, like
head down, head just slumped, slow.
Like slack neck, chin just to like chest.
Dead. So then just the horse starts moving,
riding the horse.
He falls off. And then we find out later that he's dead, and there was like a coin that went straight through his eye.
He wasn't dead yet.
Yeah.
But he was going
to die. He was going to die in the hospital. He died.
Yeah, basically paralyzed on the horse.
Yeah. So.
And then bleeding.
What. With that scene, especially because the way that he was on the horse and the way that the coin entered his head.
Yeah.
I originally thought that the alien creature had a magnetic pull and that it pulled the coin from the dirt.
I was curious to like how that happened.
So he must have been looking up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why the poster happened.
Yeah. And that's kind of a big thing throughout this movie. But it did. I think it did a really good job of establishing that, like, all right, that's something weird. I wonder what this mystery is.
I hate how, like, they played the alien as, like, it's just a stupid animal, like, it already, like, a bug, just being territorial and has almost no intelligence.
You're gonna get to that, you know? That's a little... Yeah, no, that is a big thing. That's one of the implications I saw throughout this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess we can continue on with
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, me.
It's like popcorn reading, guys.
So
I'm just the host. You go. You guys do the work. I'm just the host.
They're pretty much... They're shooting a commercial... Or not... Well, they're shooting something.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure what it is. But...
For the farm, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's some for the farm. But... the main character's sister is, like, an actress. She's more big in that. Yeah, she acts like... She acts, sings, plays... or likes motorcycles. She goes like, on this whole thing.
She has, like, a ton of other stuff besides the ranch.
Yeah, did I not just say that?
She does, like, drugs, right?
Yeah.
She... yeah.
She was vaping, but there's kind of implications.
No, she deals drugs, is what he said when he was going to the meeting.
Oh, so, I have... No. Yeah.
And he's like, you do all this, and... But this should be your main thing. And then she's like, no, this is my side gig.
Oh, yeah. He has a better memory than we do.
No, he's like, you shouldn't be promoting your other things during when we're trying to do this.
I never got the feeling that she was on anything. Yeah. Like, she might have been high. Like,
I'm not saying she's doing stuff. I'm saying she's selling it.
The vape might have been, like, I got... She has this vibe like she's maybe like a chronic smoke, like marijuana user, and that might have been like a dab pen.
I don't think there's anything there. Like,
no,
I think
it wasn't like culturally. It wasn't significant to the movie or the character, maybe. But like, I think his problem was she's trying to promote herself when he's trying to save the ranch. That's why he's here with the horses, because he's been selling these horses the whole time. Which we find out because he tries to buy him back, he can't buy him back because they're gone.
And he's selling these horse, or like this horse at least. He's been selling them to Stephen Young's character.
Mm-hmm.
I think he goes by Jupe.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But he's been buying horses. He kind of owns this ranch thing now. It's like a cowboy...
Stephen Young's
It's like an amusement.
Yeah, it's an amusement park.
Attraction.
He's
it's like a little carnival.
Yeah, he thinks he knows how to control the alien and make
we get to that, because this is where we learn
more about the alien. It's when the alien is...
Yeah.
Well, this is where we learn more about Gordy, and we find out he was on the show. He was...
Yeah. Through the entire intro of this movie...
Yeah.
There are clips of Gordy. I don't mean... I'm just trying to...
Yeah, go ahead.
So the entire, like, let's say first half of this movie.
And
When they show Gordy.
So the entire intro, you get these clips.
At the very beginning, as the Universal logo is playing, there's the clip of the lady in the TV show saying, "Nope." It is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. So through the entire intro of the movie, through the first half, we get these clips of this sitcom set where a chimpanzee has obviously gone off the chain.
You could say he went apeshit.
turned on the cast members, to say the least. And we find out that Stephen Young's character was the
child star of the show.
It's called like Gordy's Home or something.
Gordy's house, something like that.
Well, we find that out later.
Yeah.
Well, we find out, he's like, oh yeah, I was there for the whole thing. He was telling this to the main character and his sister.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I was there for this whole thing. Yeah. It was a spectacle. And he says that.
Yeah. Well, he's talking about the SNL recreation of
He's talking about the SNL.
He said, like, so bizarre.
He said, like, he was, like, directed it and was the person.
So that's what I felt weird, but yes. And he was watching the SNL thing, and he's like, it was to a T. And this will play further on to his character and kind of how
Gordy was like just abused by the rest of the cast members instead.
No,
well, that is kind of what's implied, because any use of animals in film is basically like a no-no.
Because Gordy wasn't going to kill.
Yeah.
He's
more just reaching out and being like, I'm good.
Well, I think that's
it's a balloon spot.
That's what Stephen Young thinks happened.
Yeah, but then he was fine. He wasn't going to...
Oh, because he didn't come after Stephen Young's character as a child.
He just beat up that guy and then was like...
Well, he beat up the entire... He killed the entire cast.
Yeah. What happened
but
was...
He just finished but
if you,
that guy
if,
who just
if you notice, show. Stephen Young as a kid just didn't look at Gordy in the eye. In the eyes. That's why Gordy didn't kill him. But he thinks that Gordy didn't kill him because they had some sort of Tiger King-esque connection.
You know what?
With the explosion.
Because you think he's looking him in the eye.
Right. Yeah.
But there's a tablecloth between the eyes.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that.
Because that's
And Steven Yeun didn't either, which is why he goes on to be what he is. But
because he keeps trying to recreate the spectacle, and that's what he thinks he can do with Alien. And this big thing overall is the Alien is, well, as Tyler said, was that they made him into kind of like a dumb animal. Yeah, I saw him; he was a predator. They kind of made him into a predator, and he didn't like being looked at. The Alien,
very territorial creature.
If you looked at it, the Alien it attacked. That's kind of its whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, but predators would attack you nonetheless.
Let me think. From what no, because
like a bull.
The main character.
A bull's not a predator.
The main character kept looking down for a reason, because if he looked at it, it would go down.
I don't think it's so much about it being a predator as much as it's about
a defensive.
Yeah, like it's kind of like how
it wants to stay hidden.
Like pack leaders, alphas, and like how alphas establish themselves. You look at me, I'm gonna kill you.
Okay.
It's like looking me in the eyes as this animal. That's a sign of disrespect. Looking away from me, I have no problem with you. So I think it's not so much about it being a predator. I see food. I need food. I kill. As much as there's this territorial aspect and like I am king. Respect me. I mean, there's, like, as Donald said, there's some underlying themes here that aren't apparent, but at face value, that's what I'm getting from the Alien.
Do we know why the horses would just run?
The horse, remember, freaks out when it looks itself in the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff about eyes in this movie. Mm. That's kind of why I was going on that.
And that's something I actually didn't pick up on, and I do want to rewatch it again with that, because David Lynch has the famous every scene has the eye of the duck scene. Where I think it's like Eraserhead, there's like a really weird scene with the duck's eye, and you have no idea what it means, and then it just cuts away. And he said every movie has a scene like that, which is the core meaning of the entire movie. So that would be kind of interesting to look into, but I never picked up on that.
I never knew that.
So let's continue the. And this is going to sound... I don't remember. Does Steven Yeun's character get killed by the alien?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because he's trying to get the alien to come down.
So,
it always comes down.
Yeah, but he's trying to show this to the people because he's trying to recreate the spectacle of what Gordy was.
Yeah.
He's trying to recreate the feeling he had of being part of this crazy, like, event.
Because it's like it's consumed his entire life.
Because he is famous not because of the
show. Not because of the show, but because
of what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he's obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
He has like a replica of the place in his ranch.
And you guys were saying, maybe Gordy was abused. But if you notice, Gordy was completely normal. And it was a birthday episode, and there were presents and balloon pop.
That's what I'm talking about.
I feel like it is. Tiger King is an interesting kind of conversation piece with this because what's the guy's name in Tiger King?
Joe?
Gerald Baskins or something?
Not Carol Baskins, the other guy.
Oh.
It's been way too long. He thinks he has a deep connection with these animals that could at any second turn on him. And I feel like that's what Steven Yeun is going through.
Well, because there was a whole thing. They talked about the exploding fist bump that him and the Gordy had. And right before Gordy gets shot in the head, you know, because police or whatever came in to kill him, Gordy is going for an exploding fist bump with Steven Yeun.
Yeah.
They just recreated Harambe.
I guess.
They could have tranked him.
I don't know. I probably would have done the same thing if I walk in there. Oh, that's a mutilated body. That's another body.
So where were we?
Just walking in on set.
Where were
Harambe,
we?
Harambe is a touchy subject.
Yeah. You know, I still... My heart goes out to Harambe, you know. Exactly. I poured one out. I have to pour this one out. So where were we in the plot? I don't...
We were at the rant when they were selling the horse. But pretty much getting up to the... They just start seeing, like, this... the main character starts noticing, like, a
moving object.
Yeah, a moving object.
It looks like a flying saucer.
It looks like a flying saucer.
And it is a flying saucer.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I guess that's the thing.
Yeah.
The entire time... until maybe the last quarter of the movie, you're under the assumption this is a flying saucer with little green men that operate mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so is Steven Yeun. His character is, I'm sorry,
no, you're fine, you're super fine.
His Steven Yeun is under the assumption that this is a flying saucer with little green dudes
right.
in it.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. Oh, yeah, right. I'm thinking of the main character. And I was like, yes.
yeah. Yeah, so he. But what has been happening, I guess, I don't know if you guys probably know this, but. So he goes to sell the horse, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Steven Yeun's obsessed with his time on Gordy, all this, and he wants to recreate that with the aliens that are in this flying saucer. And he uses the horse as bait.
Yeah.
And he thinks that, like, they're abducting the horse. And they do the same thing at every time. Like, he had a horse sitting out here just mm-hmm. regularly at some point on this part of his ranch. And at 6:15 or whatever time it was, every night...
It's 6...
It come...
13, I think.
Yeah, 6, sorry. 6, whatever, it comes at the yeah. same time, abducts the horse, and abducts is in air quotes for the mm-hmm. audience.
Well, the horse takes off running first.
Yeah, regardless, horse runs, whatever, the thing sucks it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the thing is, our main character, what is the actor's name that plays?
Daniel Kaluuya, I think?
Daniel Kaluuya is trying to buy, he goes on this initial deal
mm-hmm.
and asks to, I want to try to buy these horses back.
Mm-hmm.
He can't buy the horses back because they keep being abducted, in air quotes, by the aliens. And that's why Steven Yeun kind of avoids the question.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which I thought was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, we go through Gordy, we see the Gordy memorabilia room.
Yes.
We move forward to we have, like, some alien stuff that happens on their ranch. So,
and
I'll let you...
There are some... And I wouldn't say obvious, but there are some parallels with him selling the horses to Steven Yeun. Steven Yeun basically abusing these horses and then avoiding the question when they want them back. There's some parallels to that with kid actors in Hollywood.
Hmm. I can see where you're coming from there.
Yeah, because a lot of times parents sell, like, the Jeanette McCurdy book. I'm Glad My Mom Died basically talked about how she was sold into acting as if she was sold into slavery.
Yeah, because her mom stole her
yeah.
money and was supposed to be hers.
Daniel Kaluuya is kind of like audiences, like, 10-year, like, let's say there's a girl in, like, some cult famous comedy movie or whatever. The audience is saying, like, 10 years later, whatever happened to her? Hollywood kind of avoids the question because they were essentially most of the time abused and or driven to drug addictions, etc. So that's kind of what that means. Okay. But yeah,
it's the greater
to
meaning.
To me, I don't.
That's your greater yeah. meaning. That's where you're seeing some
yeah.
trends.
Yeah.
Now, did you just for out of curiosity's sake, did some of the stuff you listened to about this movie mention that at all?
They don't really, because it just came out and it was like their initial impressions. They just kind of talked about surface level the movie. I don't like analyses of things. I like to come up with my own.
Okay.
Meaning.
So this is based on your mm-hmm. analysis. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just wanted to know if you.
Yeah, full. I would give full credit if something isn't my idea.
All right.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting... I like that. Mm-hmm. That's a cool way to think about it.
I'm pretty bad with coming up, like, overall,
I guess. I'm face value. Most
yeah, that's me. I can sometimes pin things, but not really.
You gotta be, like, really weird for me to start thinking about what this means. Like, that's why David Lynch, I'm like, what's Eraserhead about? Which probably is one of the simplest ones to figure out on his, or at least draw some conclusions from. Lost Highway is pretty fun too. That I'm trying to think about.
Okay. Yeah.
Silent, trying to get the horses back. Can't get them back.
Right, and then just start alien stuff starts happening at the ranch.
Power outages.
And his sister pretty much convinces him to start recording it, trying to capture footage because it can be successful.
Power outages happened yet because then they set up cameras.
No,
they start taking out cameras.
The cameras. They have to set up special cameras because these power outages aren't just regular power. It's like killing phones.
Yeah, completely.
Like cellular phones.
Yeah, that's not what they're. Yeah, and then they set up what it was. Because there was power outages, they had set batteries that they thought were.
Yeah. Which is why I thought that there was a magnetic field produced. I was like, oh, this is how they're going to explain why this is happening. And that's why I thought instead of the mm-hmm. metal coming down, it's going up.
Continue. From there, they kind of just keep trying to...
It becomes an alien hunting movie.
Yeah, it becomes an alien hunting movie. They get some IT
yeah,
guy.
They steal a decoy.
I like the IT guy. He was funny.
Similar to, it kind of becomes like a behind the scenes of Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Like Ghostbusters. Like they're trying to get a picture of the thing. They're trying to prove that it exists.
And this actually... I'm interested what you have to think about this. They brought this director in that was like... Mm. At first, not interested at all.
Documentaries and stuff.
Yeah.
That was... I love him.
I'm going to tell you this now. I'm still... Don't really know what...
You don't know?
What his...
I'm just curious. That's fine, but... I did think what was really cool is...
There might be some obvious thing that I'm just not thinking of.
I mean,
but
I'm not missing
it. As I was rewatching it, I was like, what does that dude steal? Like...
Yeah.
He's like... They contact him because... They're trying to get this impossible shot.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, what's his overall...
Did get the impossible shot.
What's his overall...
I guess getting the impossible shot?
Was he supposed to be...
Yeah, he got it.
I think that's, like, the simplest part of the movie.
Was he supposed to be, like, an executive producer on, like, some project
I just think he can take... He would always look for the impossible shot.
That did a lot of documentary work, he's...
No, but I mean, like, in the overall metaphor of this is a metaphor for filmmaking, Hollywood, is he supposed to be, like, the executive producer who's trying to get everybody together to, like, pull off the perfect movie that...
I think he's the obsessed one.
Yeah.
Because he has, like, because he puts his life on
the line. More of, like, the director, I would assume?
No, mm-hmm. I don't know. See, I don't know, because I really... This isn't my theory.
Trying to tie it to theories.
Mm-hmm. But,
He also...
Or is he just the cinematographer of the... Of Holly... Like, the... I don't know.
I mean, that's your metaphor. Yeah. So, like, you gotta place that in your...
I might use that as my capstone.
That'd be kind of a cool...
Yeah, nope, capstone. As a metaphor for Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
So, I think that... At least, if I'm remembering correctly, he does kind of ask... the main character, Daniel
Kaluuya, I think.
I want to say Kaluuya, like the I'll call him DK for now. Is that fine? Donkey Kong?
Mm-hmm.
So, DK wants to... he asks him to put... Like, DK... He asks DK's character to put his life on the line again.
Yeah.
Because the first time, he does it. He puts his life... He, like, rides the horse... And the flying saucer is chasing him.
Right.
And then he thinks he gets the shot. Like, at least the two that are in this tent trying to get the shot. He asks him again, I think, like, because then he runs up on the mountain. He's like, I gotta get this picture. And then he gets it. Like,
yeah, he wants it again.
He's obsessive.
But going on that shot of DK riding on the horse, I thought it was really cool.
We missed the reveal of this movie. This is, which is important to what we're talking about right now. Do you want to?
No, you go ahead. I've already said a lot about this.
I feel like I'm talking so much.
What?
Guess.
Oh, say it.
So the flying saucer in this movie isn't operated by little.
Yeah, it's just a weird.
The flying saucer is a giant.
It's
just animal.
It's an animal.
It's like a weird glittery kind of thing.
Might have to rearrange this in post.
No, it's fine.
And we find this out after Steven Yeun puts the spectacle on, because they all get eaten. They all get abducted.
Right.
And then you find out the inside of this thing is like a giant ant. You're just like...
A stomach.
You're getting digested.
Stomach intestines.
Which, that's where I was like... It sounded like balloons rubbing together, man.
Yeah.
I was like, this is...
That's why I liked it. It was so colorful and glittery and it was a complete subversion of what you think is going to happen. I just thought that was really successful.
I was surprised by it. I will say that.
I did think that... That was a good twist.
Yeah.
Because I was under the assumption there's little green men for a while, and I was expecting that, and I'm glad that they kind of threw you for a loop.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand why it has, like, different modes.
It makes sense. It's kind of like a big jellyfish.
That it appears as a flying saucer, and then it appears as a giant flying thing, but it can still travel.
As a flying saucer, I think it can travel the fastest.
It's just about, like...
We're also not supposed to comprehend what it's...
Yeah, could be a case of like, no, I won't say that because you're still watching it, movie.
Oh.
Yeah, you probably just got it.
What movie is this?
It.
Yeah.
2017, yeah.
Did you finish it?
No. Just, I have like 20.
Oh, it's like, here's my palatable form kind of thing.
Yeah. But, yes, that reveal. But I was talking about...
I feel like that'd be the same as hiding in the clouds.
Being the cloud, because it was...
In a way,
because it's keeping the clouds there.
Well, that was more of a, like a chameleon, like, blending in, I think. I think it's more like this creature. I don't think it's so much I can't comprehend this thing. I think it's just this... It's got this biology that you're just not going to understand because it's not from this Earth.
Kind of like I saw you post about the movie Fantastic Planet. Reminded me a lot of that.
In my review of Fantastic Planet is nothing to do with this movie. I'm pretty sure I gave that thing 4 stars.
No, but I mean like how there's so many weird alien things.
Yeah, my review of Fantastic Planet was 4 stars and very horny many fetish. That's all I said on there. That is quite the movie that we don't need to talk about right now.
That would be a cool recommendation.
That's a goofy one, man.
Oh.
So, where were we?
We pretty much just got...
Yeah
so we're,
we kind of skipped the end.
So, we kind of got ahead of ourselves. So, Steven Yeun and his characters, they get sucked up. They get eaten by this thing, and then, you know, they get digested, you find out, and...
DK goes
what
to the
you find out is that after it eats these people, it can't digest the coins, car keys, metal, and...
And that upsets its stomach.
It upsets its stomach, basically.
Just
he gets
it back
a little
out.
Tummy ache, and it's like an owl pellet kind of concept. It's not in a big chunk, but like it regurgitates all that metal, and that's what killed DK's character's father.
Yes.
Because they attracted it to the house. It came to the house because they were looking at it, and then it just regurgitated all the blood. From
and then it,
the
yeah, and they,
that was
it,
such an
yeah, that one of the craziest scenes in this movie.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was
rain. I wanted like Slayer rain blood, like just kind of throw some corny thing in there. That was a pretty crazy scene. But then to bait this thing, they put like a training mannequin horse.
Yep.
Out in their field, and it eats it. But it gets kind of
like
lodged in the creature, so there's a big streamer hanging from out of its mouth.
I loved that. That was cool. Did you hear that thump?
Yeah.
I can cut that, but...
It's probably just the janitor.
No, yeah.
Here in the studio, we have a janitor. Pulling up our coon caves.
That horse, like the fake horse, really pissed off the alien too, from what I remember them talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What a tasty snack. Snake. No snack for you.
Yeah, eventually, and I'm probably skipping something, but the director, you know, was finally like, alright, you have something here. And he gets on board, and now they're trying to figure out how to trap it.
He hears it on the radio that Steven Yeun's character and the entirety of anyone at the ranch that day went missing.
Yeah.
Inexplicably. And then he's like, okay, maybe there is something going on down there, and I should have listened to these two cracked out weirdos when he called me the first time.
And then TMZ shows up.
Well, now do you see how the Gordy sitcom kind of connects with Steven Yeun's character?
Yeah, I the whole like recreating a spectacle thing, definitely, I didn't think about that the first time around.
And also he thinks like the monkey, he has a connection with the alien.
I don't know so much about that, but I guess I can understand like he has a misunderstanding.
The monkey is an alien.
Good question mark?
No.
It could be an alien.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Daniel Kaluuya could be an alien.
Okay. Back to the chimpanzee and that scene. The shoe. There's this.
Yeah, the shoe that stands up.
Of the shoe. And I can't tell. Is that just a regular sneaker?
There's no way.
The shoe.
It's a high heel.
The shoe that came off her foot and was just standing straight up.
It's like doing this.
In the middle of the floor.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Really?
They focus on it.
Yeah, no,
it.
Yeah,
they definitely picked it up.
I saw it. Well, they didn't really focus on it. It was just there in the background, just standing straight up.
No,
we
got
a shot
there.
On it.
So for the audience, there's a shot in the movie where
you didn't
shoe
pick up
is
on that?
Standing perfectly horizontal.
I did. I just forgot about it. That's an explanation. Don't look at that.
I want to know.
Oh, there's an explanation about it?
Jordan Peele answered it himself, maybe. Maybe he's it's a few reasons.
That's really interesting.
Because I have no idea what that is.
Because then I was like, was the alien there or something?
It could have been.
See, that I was thinking about for a second. I'm like, maybe the alien.
The monkey could have been an alien.
Maybe they were controlling the horses?
Could they control simple
minded animals? I don't know if it's control, but I feel like.
Does it control animals?
Simple minded animals?
No.
I thought it was more of a fear.
Because the horses would all freak out.
Yeah, I thought it was more of a fear, not a control. Yeah. Maybe the chick got scared. They would run. They detected
they'd
something.
Run towards it. I don't think they'd run away. Do they run away from it?
I don't think.
Did the monkey.
Run. I don't think there's not enough focus on it in the film.
Did the monkey get mad at the balloon pop, or did he get mad that he figured that he thought someone was. That he had the.
So it could
kind of sense of someone trying to control him.
Triggered it, maybe.
Or did the alien control the monkey?
Right. I don't think I don't think there's any mind control. I don't think there's mind control in this.
No. I'd love to know the explanation of the shoe, because there is.
Let's read
it. There are shots that it is emphasized.
I mean, the Steven Yeun's character literally held on to that shoe.
Yeah,
I definitely noticed it. I just didn't.
It's like a red herring. Yeah,
maybe just.
Let's read it in real time.
Before you read it, my prediction, if it has anything to do with the alien, is that the alien was present in the area. Yep.
That's what I would say.
And the biological GPS of the chimp just went haywire because it was in the presence of this thing.
Right. That's what I'm
sure
probably
I'm
go
way
with.
Off.
Fangoria. Jordan Peele explains what the hell was up with the shoe and nope.
Fangoria. Mm-hmm.
I
trust Fangoria.
Okay.
After several viewings of Nope, and yes, after reading no small amount of online commentary on the film, all of it essayed by people far craftier than this writer, I'm confident I've got a strong handle on what blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
Peel appeared on a recent episode of the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast of that, and when asked about the meaning behind the shoe, he had this to say. The shoe represents the moment of where we check out of a trauma. And Jupe, he zones in on this little shoe. That's Mary Jo's shoe that has landed on in a precarious, odd situation. And this is the moment that he dissociates. So the shoe for me is, in essence, in one way, it's the impossible shot. That's the impossible moment. So we were overthinking it. But
so
I don't like that.
There's a lot of focus on that.
I know. He's oversimplifying it.
I guess that is the duck shot, though.
It is, but he's yeah. oversimplifying it. I think he's trying to. I don't know. I feel like there's more to it.
Yeah, there was so much reference back to that.
Basically, you just
you
said that he
what?
Was remembered.
If I'm like, okay, I'm kind of digesting this, and I'm trying to think back on the rest of the thing.
It's so disappointing. That's why I don't like analysis, reading them, because
but
your idea...
You're never going to come up with that.
I know, but what it could have been is so much cooler than so what it actually better. Is. Yeah.
So...
That's disappointing.
If you think about it...
That's not what it means.
If you think about how, like when DK's character's father dies...
Yep.
When the father dies, he kind of checks out at some point. Like, he starts...
Mm-hmm.
The coin
yeah.
that's pinned on the wall, I think, is that for him.
Is that him disassociating?
Maybe. But I can see that...
I'm sad.
I can see those themes throughout the movie. I can see those themes throughout the movie. Because... That character, DK's character, the whole time is kind of absent-minded.
Right. Yeah.
Until there's, like, an explanation, which then movie needs to be movie. So, that's all right. I can get behind it.
I'm not.
But I
this is going to be a running trend.
Thing.
Whenever we think of something more about Nope, we'll talk about it.
Oh, well. But.
Anyways.
Looking at me for?
I feel like Donald said the least on his podcast.
Yeah. Oh,
it's the most like.
Oh yeah, so
adept.
So my Hollywood metaphor, that's just kind of it. I feel like I've alluded to it that Hollywood swallows someone, spits them up, chews them out, just like the alien with the coins.
Okay.
The blood.
Yeah.
The blood rain. Don't forget the blood rain.
That was intense.
And if you want to be nihilistic, life does that too. But I don't like that reading. I like the Hollywood reading because it's fun.
Hollywood reading is like a little bit... The Hollywood metaphor it's less, is nice because it's, yeah. it's not so nihilistic.
Yeah, I see weird. Yeah, that's not a bad theory. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Apply that to any industry, but I mean, it's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie about, yeah.
big brain, so it's probably
going to be the reason I said movie is because there's the whole paparazzi guy, remember? Where he gets shot or whatever.
Yeah.
Killed by the aliens.
TMZ.
Yeah, TMZ guy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I think it's some sort of entertainment industry type of thing.
When he gets flipped off the bike.
The other thing, though, is that happens after the cinematographer, director guy mm-hmm. catches wind of it.
Mm.
So it is a little bit more explicable, like, oh, now someone else is trying to... They're like, now mm-hmm. we're competing
yeah.
to get the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that the TMZ guy being the anchor point on that metaphor is a little loose.
Yeah.
So, but I do like, I think that that's a great take. I think that I can see all your elements there, like very clear. Like the horses are the actors, or horses could, not even that, just. If the characters are actors,
mm-hmm. and movies are essentially amusement parks, which mm-hmm. is what Steven Yeun is doing. But I don't know. That's how you can kind of tell it's mine because there's obviously loose threads that I would love to like actually sit down and write a paper about it.
Interesting concept, though. I do like that. Yeah. I think that I'd love to see that fleshed out. I think that's a great topic for a paper,
yeah.
especially because it relates.
I do have to write heavily. A 10-page paper for Capstone about film. That might be what it is.
Very, yeah. I mean, it'll relate very heavily to your major.
Yeah.
So, but it had a lot of similar elements that I enjoyed
mm-hmm.
in other movies. So,
ratings. Anyone? Nate?
Yeah, I guess I gave it a 9 out of 10. It might be an 8. It's not perfect to me. It's not, like a masterpiece, but I do really like it a lot. It's really good.
For me, I gave it like a 3.5.
Out of 5?
4 out of 5, so like 7. Great movie. I think that with your takes and you bringing in that perspective that I missed, it's a little better. Because coming in here before hearing that, I was under the mm-hmm. assumption like you could cut out the gory stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you can. I think that's the most important part of the movie.
Because my initial impression was this is just territorial animal. That's what we're using as a representation. And you could have just had the main character like sitting down eating popcorn, watching an animal documentary in the intro of the movie,
mm-hmm.
and that would have been your foreshadowing. So, that's why I was like, this movie's kind of trying too hard mm-hmm. in that regard. But with that subplot of like I'm an attention whore, like mm-hmm. Steven Yeun's character, I like that a little better. So maybe we're pushing it to like a 7.5. Maybe we're getting to that with that.
Okay.
Initial impression was a 7. Additional input, I'll push it to an 8.
I like that.
Okay. Tyler?
I'll have to give it just a 7.
Why?
Very slow beginning and then not a very
I don't know if it's as slow as you're pointing out to be. It was slow, but I didn't think it was like
Society of the Snow is slower, but that's on purpose.
I would say it's slower, but
one thing that
it's an interesting double feature, sorry to interrupt you, but kind of is an interest it kind of similar themes.
Back to back, so I would have loved to see the impossible shot that they got.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I wish I would have seen. Like the whole
it's like the final frame, but like
there is some really fan thing is like
I feel like I'm sorry there should have been a post credit scene of them on Oprah.
That would be cool.
That's what I said first time I watched it.
I'd love that. But here's the thing, right? So when I watch horror movies, I'm most of the time I really don't care about like all the existential
symbolism.
I usually am going in there for like I like the feeling. I'm taking it all at face value,
mm-hmm.
and I like when movies like that are smart.
Mm-hmm.
this movie is kind of smart.
Mm-hmm. It's very
the
smart.
The way that the director going, I have a crank-handled camera.
I know.
This thing kills all electricity and killing batteries. A crank handle that I'm reloading like a machine gun. And I'm doing this. That's badass.
Yeah.
That's cool as hell. Because here's the thing. He misses the shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He runs out of film at the, like, I think he runs out of film. And he would have gotten this amazing shot of this thing sideways trying to come down, like,
I love that we
see Top Gun, Maverick, garbage. Like that's so crazy.
Yeah, I see, but I don't see the point of wasting all the film. Nothing's happening.
I love the fact that we don't really get an explanation of what the alien is, which is why I feel like when you read analyses, it kind of ruins it. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's what that was.
Here's the thing is, like, when you... Here's, like, for me, I'm thinking if this movie goes 30 minutes longer, like, the military's going to come and blow this thing up, because that's what's going to happen in any real alien movie. We've all seen Independence Day, garbage like that. Like, we know how it goes.
I actually haven't seen Independence Day.
You are aware of the movie Independence Day. So, or, like, Alien. Like, you know, blow up the entire quadrant, man. Like, that's, like, how it's going to go. But yeah, like, I think that he's wasting all that film because you never know when it's going to happen. He's just trying to keep a camera rolling because he's a documentary filmmaker. So he's like always rolling, and this is the only way I can do it.
I would have kept that at least a quick preload, though.
He did. They had...
That was very long.
You know what, Shane Tilton?
It was lack of preparation, though, which is smart, because he's like, I'm going to throw this crazy film, like, I'm going to throw this dude from the Geek Squad on camera. He's not going to be able to, handle this the way he's
supposed. You know what, Shane Tilton, one of my advisor and a professor here at Shout Out, says all the time? Technology fails, and it fails when you need it the most.
Oh, yeah. I love that line from him.
Yeah.
Maybe you could circle that back to your metaphor, you know, like you get this perfect take, but the camera wasn't rolling, kind of thing.
One final thing I want to say on it, it's just like a cool thing. I don't know if it's really true, but like what I thought was cool is like we got that the director made like his own camera that was like self powered,
and he had more than one. He had the big one, the machine gun, and he had a handheld one that he just pulled out. Like, oh, by the way.
But like what I thought was cool was. The film, you know, kind of didn't start out, but it talked about the first motion picture was of a black guy riding on a horse.
Which is also why I was thinking Hollywood.
Right.
It does go full circle.
The director does that, getting
same kind of camera.
Right.
And DK's character is riding on a horse.
So I'm like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I saw that, I'm like...
There's some really cool stuff this movie does.
That's why I picked it for the first one to talk about, because there's just so much to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so interesting.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I thought I heard a knock.
To me, this is
I'm Tim the
Tim. Oh, yeah. Okay.
To me, this is a masterpiece. I feel like... I really like movies where the more you see it, the more you get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you think about it, the more you get out of it.
Yeah.
With on top of that, everything technically being on point, there's nothing technically wrong with this movie. All of the shots are amazing. The acting is incredible. It's paced perfectly, especially after the second and third time. I know the beginning is slow, but once you kind of know what you're getting into, the slow beginning is kind of cool because it gives you more time to kind of get immersed into.
I feel like I'm gonna enjoy this.
Yeah, pick up on more Easter eggs. So to me, this is. Probably at the end of the decade. I know it came out just at the beginning, but it's probably going to be my favorite of the decade, other than Killers of the Flower Moon.
I've not seen that.
It's really good.
An entirely different conversation. But this movie is my favorite sci-fi movie. It's not my favorite horror movie, but it's definitely in my top 10 horror movies.
This is far from a true horror movie.
Which is also why I wanted to have you on, because you're a horror movie guy.
Yeah, definitely have me back when you get into some, like...
Oh, yeah.
Cannibal Holocaust.
No, I don't know about that, but I think you guys should watch Mandy.
Yeah.
Like, Mandy is one of Nicolas Cage's best movies. It's so campy and goofy, but at the same time, it is a genuinely amazing movie.
That's what I've heard.
It's very fun to watch. Another one that is kind of related to this one with Nick Cage in it is Color Out of Space.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that yet, either.
I've been meaning to watch that. Maybe we can get together and watch that.
Mm.
It's a good one. But
But yeah, obviously 10 out of 10. When I first saw it, it would have been a 1 out of 10.
No, really? Like,
yeah.
That's a big
Yeah. I was just as surprised when I watched it the second time. I was like, holy crap.
I feel like you are definitely, to me, you seem like someone that needs to watch a movie twice.
I watch basically every movie twice.
Because you watch movies very critically compared to the rest of us.
First time I see it, for whatever reason, first time I see it, I'm in critic mode. I'm like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, I don't like this, why is this like this, why didn't they do it this way? Mm-hmm. Then the second time I watch it, I'm like, I can actually enjoy it now.
Yeah, I totally get that.
And I've also seen a lot of movies, humble brag. But
oh, yeah, that's a humble brag already.
I'm watching two movies a day at this
point. Have you been on that schedule?
I'm trying. Okay. I got sick past few days, so
yeah, in school, obviously, work.
But I'm trying to watch 800 movies this year, so it's very, very hard to impress me. So when a movie like this comes along, I'm like mind blown. Thank you, Jordan Peele.
I'm usually like at least one. I try to watch like something new every day, whether it's like starting a show or watching a movie. So I do like a one a day kind of thing.
That's the thing about watching so many movies is that I'm trying to watch Mad Men right now, but I just, with all the movies I watch, I don't have time to watch it.
Yeah, I watched a show like I have an hour gap between my classes. That's when I watch my episode of whatever I'm watching. And then when I sit down at the end of the night, I relax and I watch a movie. And, you know, when I'm relaxing, some of the movies I'm watching are like you pick up on things and then you watch them again. And you don't really... you pick up on stuff. It's just, it's a different experience, and I think what I would love... You can cut this out, because I don't want this on here. I want to do a review, right? A column in something.
A Northern Review, please join. I would get $20 from my... I would get $20 from Shane Tillen if I get one of you guys to join Northern Review.
I have a feeling it's not going to be on your...
Probably not, but my concept is I watch a movie twice. I watch it once, and then the second time, watch it... Or other way around.
Yeah, other way around would be better.
Write your review after you watched it stone, write your review, and then, like, compare notes. Mm. Because there is shit that I pick up on in movies... Especially movies like Mandy or like some David Lynch stuff. There's plenty of Mad God. Should watch.
Yeah,
Mad God.
I have Shudder now. I got AMC Plus. I'm going to watch it.
Watch Mad God. Get back to me. It's a different experience.
I know. I've heard. Don't tell me anything.
No, I'm talking generally right now. But when you watch movies like that, it's a different experience all together. And I think it's cool. It's fun. But. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Now we can go back to what's going to be in here. I don't want to...
I think we've hit...
We're almost at 2 hours, guys.
Yeah, I think we've done good.
Anything else y'all want to say about Society of the Snow or Nope?
Nope.
I think you should give both of them a watch. I think Society of the Snow...
100%. Do them as a double feature like I did.
I feel like that would be a burden. I feel like
it's,
that
yeah, it's
you.
It's really heavy for both. And they're I didn't realize this, but they're both so long.
Yeah.
They are. Yeah. Society of Snow is a kind of an investment of time. Mm-hmm.
To me in the last episode
time like 5 times throughout the movie, I was like, how long do I have on this?
Yeah.
But I don't think I had too much of a problem with that on either of those.
The other movie I was going to recommend, if not Nope, was going to be Brokeback Mountain, but I figured that would be so much sadness that we would be crying the entire... and also, that's also, I think, as long as Nope is, but...
You know what movie I almost cried at?
What?
How to Train Your Dragon Hidden World.
Is that number 3?
Yeah, it's the third one. I love
I haven't seen
movies.
The third one yet.
All those movies have, like, a special place for me.
No, but Brokeback Mountain, that movie...
What's that about?
It's gay cowboys, basically.
It seems interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't it like some big stars? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Is it just like
Spider-Man Far From Home?
That's Jake.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. I thought so.
He's
an
asshole.
I really like him.
He's the worst person to work
Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, that's old.
Yeah. Forgot to mention about The Impossible, a 14-year-old Tom Holland is in it as one of the main actors. He's really good.
Speaking of just crazy movies, there's this, I think it was called Victoria.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that.
It's all one shot.
Yeah, so is Birdman. Birdman, Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. Yeah.
Are you? Okay. Yeah. I never finished it, but...
There's one scene where it kind of pans up and there's obviously a cut, but that's kind of the point because it's a time change, but it's still kind of smooth.
It's very much...
Then also
that
1917.
It was on HBO, right?
Yeah. I have it on Blu-ray if you want to watch it.
Oh, I might take you up on
that. Anyway, is that...
I mean, I think that what I needed to say has been said.
Yeah.
Tyler?
I was definitely more passionate about society this night.
Hmm. You good? Anything else you want to say?
Nope.
Okay, so we're going to have a recommendation from Nate Hall. And forgot to bring this up in the last episode, but the only criteria for movies to be recommended on the show is one, it has to be a movie, no limited series, no anime. Sorry, Tyler.
Okay, what about anime?
Whoa. No anime?
Like, anime that movies?
It could be anime movies. Okay. I just mean,
Studio
like...
Ghibli.
Yeah,
I would say
obviously.
It has to be, like, you
no
prior knowledge to get into it, you know?
And second one is has to be either widely available on streaming or a movie that basically everyone has seen.
Okay,
I feel like that's fair.
That's
easily accessible.
Yes.
So I have my recommendation. Only thing is, like, I know you've seen it, and that's
hold up.
What? What?
Recommendation time.
It's kind of hard to find a movie that you haven't watched since you watched over, like, 1,000. You might have seen it. I don't know if you've seen it because I haven't talked about it. But my recommendation is on Netflix, and it's Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, cool.
I've been meaning to rewatch it because I'm excited to go back into it.
I've watched it a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought for sure you were going to say Moneyball.
No, I haven't watched it yet. No, I want to go Tick, Tick, Boom because I really want to rewatch it.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I've been meaning to watch this. It's got Andrew Garfield in it.
Yes, he's really good. So that is my recommendation.
Hang on, what's the next episode that we're going to do? Like, what's the main
movie? Argyle.
Argyle, yeah. You're right. Yeah. It's the only big release out this weekend.
Oh.
That's the main reason why we want to watch or talk about it.
I'm glad you guys didn't invite me on that one.
We're probably gonna go Sunday, and you said you weren't.
I'll probably if I'm not doing anything.
Do you
want to
go?
Join you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll let you know.
I'm always looking for shit to do. So
yeah.
It's fucking sleepy in this town.
Yeah. So if you want to watch Tick, Tick, Boom, it's available on Netflix.
Yeah.
Anybody? Swords? Nate?
Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah.
Absolute pleasure.
You're going to be back on.
I hope that I'm back because I had a great time. And
you might be.
Really love this.
I kind of want it to have a different guest every episode, but if that kind of falls through, you'll be fourth chair.
I'm always looking for something to do. You know Ada.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, should I not say that?
No, it's fine. It's a Northern Review show.
You know Ada is a sleepy town, so I'm always looking for stuff to do. Also, if you guys ever want to get together and watch a movie at my place,
I need to take you.
I got an excessive supply of popcorn and a cat.
Well, we could also watch it at my apartment.
Yeah,
you have
a theater. So, yeah.
Any last words, Tyler?
So yeah, I definitely see the 10 o'clock show in the morning.
I'm not seeing the tomorrow.
I would actually do that.
I could probably swing that.
Is there a late showing? No, it's after 10.
I have to do stuff tomorrow night. Excuses.
With Tyler being, you could have a little date. How about that?
It's the Kingsman
people,
right?
Huh?
It's the Kingsman people, right?
Yeah, but that guy also did Bullet Train, which is one of my least favorite.
It wasn't
okay.
We're not going to talk about Bullet Train. We're not talking Bullet Train right now.
Yeah.
Tyler, what are your last words other than that?
No.
Nothing?
That's
not going to say G Fuel, Domino's, Pokemon, anything?
Candy Corn G Fuel is pretty good.
No.
Candy Corn G Fuel is pretty good. Okay. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye-bye.